content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Demi Arsenault from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Lion Magazine. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the February 2021 issue of Lion Magazine. We'll jump right in today with our president's message titled, Service is Love. Greetings, Lions. Over the years, I have had the great honor and blessing of a loving family. But I've also found love in unexpected places. I've seen it in the eyes of an orphan as he played sports on a sunny afternoon. I've felt it in the warm hands of an elderly woman thanking me for helping her to see again. And I've known it in the faces of my fellow Lions. The men and women I serve with love show love in everything they do. You, Lions, show love through clothing drives, food pantries, eyeglass donations, beach cleanups, and the building of schools. You show love through donating masks and planting trees and organizing surgeries for those without sight. You show kindness and you show love through service. While not everyone is blessed with a family to love, anyone can serve. Anyone can give. Anyone can decide to show love. This month, I want to thank you, Lions, for the love you send into the world through the work you do. Sincerely, Dr. Zhong Yul Choi, International President of Lions Clubs International. And we'll jump right in now with our Global Service Department, beginning in France, an article titled, Potato Pirouette. When COVID-19 hit Lions in France, they didn't stop dancing. They just changed their moves. The Lions Club Strasbourg Argentoratum in France formed January 17, 2020, before they and the world knew what was in store for 2020. Because they had a farmer in their ranks, they decided that their first project would be to plant, cultivate, harvest, and sell potatoes. We were ambitious, and we wanted it to be a 100% Lions project, says PDG Oliver Mazaza. With profits from the sales, they planned to organize outings for people with vision impairment. However, 2020 was not a year to make plans. France went into lockdown on March 17, 2020, and stayed that way until May 11, 2020. During that time, Lions watched with shock and sadness as students from around their dynamic young city lined up at the university for food aid. We are the third city in France to welcome the most international students, says Mazaza. The lockdown caused so many of these young people to lose the jobs that help finance their studies. The Potato Action Team, as they named themselves, decided to change the direction of their project. The proceeds of the potato sales would no longer go to support Action for Sight, but instead support Action Against Hunger. Lion Catherine Huck, founding member of the Lions Club Strasbourg Argentoratum and the owner of Toulouse Farm in Achau, a few kilometers, approximately 1 mile south of Strasbourg, was responsible for selecting and planting the Mona Lisa and Maribel potato varieties on an area of approximately 1/2 acre. After a few weeks, beautiful tubers appeared, says Mazaza, and then beautiful potatoes. By the end of August, they had picked and bagged 3 tons of potatoes in 3 kilo, which is 55-pound bags. They stored them in a cool, dark room to prevent germination and then faced their next challenge, to sell those potatoes. We became potato salespeople, says Mazaza. In addition to selling loads to friends and family, Lions found a supermarket in Achau and a location in the Ilkirch Grafenstaden market to sell their bounty. Both locations gave Lions space at no charge, and they were able to sell 500 kilos, which is 1,102 pounds, in 1 day in front of the supermarket entrance. The Strasbourg Cathedral Lions, who are close to the Strasbourg Argentoratum Lion Club, also purchased 150 kilos, or 331 pounds, to donate to the students of Strasbourg. However, on October 29, 2020, France entered its second national lockdown. Lions were unable to continue selling their potatoes, but still had 1,500 kilos, which is 3,306 pounds, still sitting in their cool, dark room. To see these potatoes sprout was to see all of our efforts go up in smoke, says Mazaza. They had to act fast. They tried to donate the potatoes directly to the students, but logistics made it too difficult. Then Café Sati, a roasting company based in Alsace, stepped in to help. They brought in the entire stock of potatoes and then donated it to the Strasbourg Food Bank. Despite multiple setbacks, the potato operation was a success. All it took was some pivots. Next, we're going to move to one of our feature articles titled Be Our Guests. Lions aid earthquake victims by treating them like family. When a powerful earthquake hit the Aegean Sea on the western coast of Turkey this fall, Lions and Leos were the first non-governmental organization at any of the rescue sites. Where can I go? How can I find the authorities? Where will I live? Who will feed my children? Although the Lions didn't have immediate answers to these questions and the many more that would follow from the thousands in despair, people knew the Lions in the yellow vests would find the answers and help them without fail. The 7.0 earthquake hit hardest at 3 p.m. on October 30th in Izmir, Turkey's third largest city of about 4 million people. Within an hour, Lions were organizing their efforts to help. Within 3 hours, the Lions of District 118R had booths and tables set up behind a collapsed apartment building, and by 6 p.m., they were distributing water, disinfectant, and the first of 150,000 masks that would go to survivors and search and rescue teams. On top of the disaster, the pandemic raged on, and taking safety precautions was crucial. By 7 p.m., 4 hours after the earthquake hit, Lions were serving their first warm meal of hot soup like rice and chicken for thousands. Their service continued nonstop for 10 days. Lions and Leos at emergency relief tents worked together in shifts serving 2,000 to 4,000 people a day, says Lion Esengul Erkan, the district governor for 118R. Turkish bagels and donuts, pastries with cheese and meat, Turkish desserts and drinks, including a traditional Aryan, a Turkish water yogurt salt drink, were there for the hungry. But the list of needs went far beyond food. Lions distributed 5,000 blankets and 5,000 packages of baby diapers, 500 beds, 1,000 sets of bed linens, underwear and socks, toys and games, and shoes and boots, soap, and so much more. On the third night, the weather got cold and electricity was not possible due to the earthquake and the needs of the rescue crews. Lions brought in stoves, metal barrels, and 40 tons of wood to provide warmth in the emergency tent area. A retired couple came to the Lions for help. They had thought they would have a peaceful, retired life, but now they lost their home. What touched us deeply was how they expressed their gratitude, says Lion Sebnem Guller, Global Service Team District Coordinator of D118R. They said that in their lives they had never asked anyone for anything before, and that they were so moved when Lions were offering the help in such a gentle and gracious way, like they were the Lions' guests. After 10 days, constant sanitizing and following COVID safety guidelines, Lions and other NGOs were asked to leave their site because of rising COVID numbers. Lions set up two warehouses, one in the area most affected by the earthquake and the second in the storage area of a factory. They left a small stand behind to continue to distribute masks, disinfectant, and water. Help through all this came from clubs in multiple District 118 around Turkey, including 22 Lions clubs with younger members in the field. Those with older members provided the needs and materials for donations and support. According to LEO District Chairperson Simru Govan, there are 19 LEO clubs in LEO District 118R, and 16 of them are in the city of Izmir. In the rescue efforts, 14 Omega LEO clubs and 94 LEOs worked actively on a 24-hour continuous basis with shifts at the emergency relief sites. As the Lions look forward and support continues, the LEOs, like the Lions, realize that there is a second wave of people who are becoming homeless. As authorities check the apartment buildings for safety, hundreds of buildings are being sealed to be demolished due to safety reasons. In addition to supporting the initial victims, now we have started to support these people who are becoming homeless, says Guller. Support has also come from a $10,000 LCIF emergency grant from MD111 in Germany and from Lions clubs throughout Turkey and Greece, according to Lion Azan Sakar, the council chairperson of MD118. PDG Zeynep Kokasinan, the New Voices MD coordinator for MD118, was in Istanbul and shared her support from a distance. Seeing my Lion and Leo friends united and serving selflessly, even though they also experienced the disaster, the fear and the effects, how they got organized and went to serve to support, I was deeply touched and proud, she says. I can honestly say that my trust in our organization, my belief in our principles of service, my belief in the power of organizational structure and principles got even stronger since October 30th. Since the 1999 Marmara earthquake in Turkey, when 17,000 died and 250,000 were left homeless, Lions clubs in Turkey have been working for disaster preparedness by educating adults and children about earthquakes. Earthquakes are a big reality in our lives in Turkey, she said, a scary reality. Lions clubs were really good at the initial response, and it made us all realize the real power we have as Lions, the power that we sometimes forget. It was reassuring to see how Lions in Turkey were able to come together. And next, I've got another feature article for you titled Embracing the Beauty and Value of All People. It's how Lions change the world. Our world is incredible in its diversity. We are all beautiful and unique in our experiences, abilities, and culture. But we cannot let our differences divide us, says International President Jung Yul Choi. The world has changed a lot since Lions was founded in 1917, and Lions have changed with the times. What started as an inspired idea has turned into a global movement, bringing kindness and compassion to countless millions through the incredibly diverse projects engineered by the equally diverse men and women serving as Lions. There are over 1.4 million Lions around the world and more than 48,000 clubs. There are Lions in more than 200 countries and regions. We are one of the most diverse and inclusive volunteer organizations on Earth. Given the extraordinary circumstances of the past year, it's important to remember just how important diversity and inclusion are to our mission of service. Lions are devoted to serving humanity, all of humanity. From our headquarters in Oak Brook, Illinois, to clubs on every continent, Lions embrace the beauty and the value of all people, both the people we serve and the people we serve with. The incredible perspectives, cultures, and life experiences that our members bring to our organization and to each other are our greatest strength. Together, we represent one of the most important organizations in the world, one that focuses on peace, kindness, compassion, and above all else, serving others. Lions serve the world because Lions are the world, says LCIF Chairperson Gudrun Yngvetotter. We are from 200 countries and countless cultures, but we don't just want to represent the world. We want to show how serving together makes us stronger, she says. International President Choi believes so strongly in the necessity of diversity in service that he made it his message for his original and extended presidential term. We serve all people in all places, and it's our great diversity that enables our exceptional service, says President Choi. But when we talk about diversity, it's important to define what that really means. It isn't just across countries, regions, and ethnicities, says Leo Lyons Ambassador Ayush Bagla. But for our organization to be truly diverse, we have to accept people across generations and ages as one and equal. Leos and young lions should not just be looked upon as volunteers who have the enthusiasm and strength, but need wisdom. They should be looked at as partners in service with whom we can have a journey of development, imparting knowledge as well as receiving it. And indeed, Leos and young lions have been critical to many clubs' recent successes. One club in India was having trouble reaching victims of a flood, and Leos came up with the idea to use drones to get them food and aid. Over the years, I have seen that clubs have evolved to include young members that are the ones that are thriving, says Bagla. They are not just growing, but they're also evolving. Diversity means including women at all levels, too, honoring the unique perspective they can bring and recognizing that only together we can truly be great. What I love about service is that it knows no gender, no color, no religion, says PIP Ingvadotter. And we are truly stronger as an organization and as clubs when we have a diverse mix of experiences contributing to the energy and ideas that make Lions so great. The past year has been devastating globally. Yet, in every way, Lions have stepped up to answer the needs of their community and the world. From providing face masks to serving drive-through dinners to providing encouragement and thanks to our frontline workers, Lions are showing the world who we are and what we are capable of. By working together, we can rise to meet the challenge of our times. It's not easy to unite all the members of your club, your district, or our association, says President Choi. But if we really want to change our communities and the world, we must unite. We must find harmony. We must all work together because we are all in this world together. Indeed, every lion is critical to the success of clubs and our communities. When we embrace balance in Lions, we strengthen our membership, our leadership, our communities, and our world, says PIP Ingvadotter. If our over 100-year history has proved anything, it's that Lions always answer the call. Lions have shown so much courage in this past year, says President Choi, and undoubtedly will continue to serve, united in kindness and diversity, through the coming year with the same strength and pride. And our final feature article for today, Waiting for the Shot. Blind hockey is gaining traction, and it isn't for the faint of heart. Bob Meade Colgrove was a nervous wreck. A new hockey dad, Bob had signed up to play music for his son Andrew's hockey game. Andrew was playing goalie for Team USA against Team Canada, and at 16, he was the youngest person on the team. Bob settled in next to the people running the scoreboards, who could tell he was tense and tried to reassure him. Meade Colgrove had never imagined that his son would actually play hockey. Now he was about to watch him compete and was feeling somewhere between proud and scared to death. He watched Andrew standing in front of the goal. It was a miracle he could play at all. It started with camp abilities. Andrew was born with labor congenital amaurosis, which blinded him entirely. Bob decided early that he wanted Andrew to have the experiences of any other child, sports, competition, fun with friends. He and his wife sent Andrew to Camp Abilities, a sports camp for children with visual impairments. Soon, Andrew was attending the camp multiple times each summer, often visiting with his family only to help with the laundry. At camp, Andrew climbed high rope courses, played disc golf, and learned to play goalie in blind hockey. Now he was representing Team USA against an experienced blind hockey team. While blind hockey came to the U.S. in 2017, the Canadians have been playing the sport since the 1970s. It has many of the same rules as regular hockey, but the goal is a foot shorter, the goalies are completely blind, and the puck is bigger, made of steel, and filled with ball bearings. Hearing is everything for blind hockey goalies. Before a shot can be taken at the goal, the referee must blow a whistle and a pass must be made, making the ball bearings and the puck to make a distinctive rattle. The puck usually comes toward goalies on the ground where they can better locate the sound and stop the puck by dropping down to their knees. As the game started, Andrew was focused, waiting for the whistle and the rustling ball bearings. The Canadian crowd was screaming. He felt a rush of adrenaline and his focus narrowed, priming his legs for action. The whistle blew, the puck rattled, the crowd screamed louder. The whistle blew again. Here comes the puck. A forward on Team Canada launched the puck into the air. Forwards in blind hockey are legally blind but still can see, while defensemen are slightly more blind. But, as in any other hockey game, once the puck is past the defense and coming toward the net, no other players matter. It's all up to the goalie to make the save. Andrew heard the puck lifting off the ice. He reached his glove out and the puck smacked against him. He made the save. Bob exhaled. While blind hockey, also referred to as adaptive hockey, may currently be a well-kept secret, Bob and Andrew think that it's poised for growth. To do their part, Bob and Andrew have become part of the Greater Buffalo Adaptive Sports, or GBAS, Lions Club, a 22-member virtual club located in Buffalo, New York, that was formed purely to support blind hockey. Andrew will soon be a Leo in an attached club, and at 16, he's still too young to be a full Lion. Members of the two clubs will support the hockey team, volunteer, and play for the team. The relationship between the Lions and blind hockey started when Regina Sassoni, president of the Lewiston Lions and an immediate past district governor, saw a game and felt amazed by the players. Sassoni, a former hockey mom, had no idea blind hockey existed and thought that the game was just like regular hockey except for the rattling of the puck. She could hardly tell the players were blind. Many seemed to have a sixth sense for hockey. After the game, Sassoni was introduced to Norm Page, president of GBAS, formerly known as the Sled Hockey Foundation. Norm started the foundation with his wife, Sandy, and his son, Adam, a three-time Paralympic gold medal winner in sled hockey, to help grow the sport of sled hockey. They then turned their efforts toward growing blind hockey and sponsored the game Sassoni saw. Norm asked Sassoni if the Lions could help GBAS from a blind hockey team in Buffalo. She offered something even better. "You could have your own club," she told him. This isn't how the Lions usually help, but she saw GBAS's potential to click with the mission of the Lions. Adam Page grew up watching the Buffalo Sabres, wishing that he could play hockey. But he was born with birth defects, hydrocephalus and spina bifida, which left his spine improperly developed and sent him into multiple surgeries. Even so, and Adam wanted to play hockey, and so he did. At six, Adam joined a sled hockey team sponsored by the Sabres. In sled hockey, players sit in specially designed sleds, using their arms to move around the ice. The game became a second nature to Adam, who won six medals in the Paralympics, including three golds. When Adam wasn't playing sled hockey, he was with his dad, Norm, traveling and teaching others how to play and form teams. They'd host clinics across multiple cities. City by city, Norm and Adam built sled hockey. Now, Norm and Adam hope to do the same with blind hockey, opening it to anyone who is blind and wants to play on the GBAS Lions. They also want to build more teams in upstate New York so they can have regional competitions, which would make it easier to have matches without requiring weekend travel for families. Then, perhaps, the sport will keep growing until there are multiple blind hockey across the region and eventually across the country. Already, the GBAS team has a powerful sponsor, the Buffalo Sabres. The Sabres donated money to the GBAS Lions and allowed it to use the Sabres logo. Blind people haven't had a chance to play hockey before, Norm says. This gives them an opportunity to participate in a great sport. We can't get out there quick enough to give these athletes an opportunity to get the word out there and get these programs built. We've done it before, and we can do it again. When Sassoni first introduced the idea of creating a club solely to support a blind hockey team, some Lions were skeptical. Sassoni remembers being asked why blind hockey players would want to be Lions. She had a simple response. Why wouldn't they want to be Lions? We support the visually impaired, Sassoni says. If a blind team came to us and said, would you help us with this service activity? We'd automatically say yes. So why not have a club where the players and everyone involved are Lions? Norm believes that the partnership is a perfect fit, one he's surprised hasn't happened anywhere else yet. One big reason the partnership works so well, he says, is financial support. It's often difficult for families of disabled children who play sports, he says, as competition quickly becomes expensive. There's overnight travel, paying for ice time, team dues, and buying or renting equipment. By the end, it can be a small fortune. But much of the burden of money will be handled by Lions fundraisers. The Lions know what they're doing, Norm says. They know how to raise money. They're in the community. They're so supportive. It's such a natural fit. It takes time for a sport to grow, Norm says, but if enough young people like Andrew get involved in blind hockey, the sport will have staying power. More than anything, I'm excited for the athletes, he says. They're going to have an opportunity to be in a program that can sustain themselves because they'll have the support of Lions clubs. It's powerful to know that when somebody has your back. When Adam first started playing sled hockey, he wanted to eventually play professionally. His mom gently told him it wasn't likely, but he soon realized that what he was doing was still a sport. You can't argue the fact that this is hockey, Norm says, and most of us know what sport can do. It's physical, it's mental, and it's social. It's needed more for our community of athletes with disabilities because they don't have those opportunities. What it can do for them in society and for their own self-esteem is amazing. It's helping them realize that they can do anything. It's powerful stuff. And I'm going to have to abridge that article due to time, but I'm glad you could join us today. We've run out of time for today's episode of Lion Magazine, but be sure to tune in next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Demi Arsenault for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for the print and visually impaired audience. Lion Magazine is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. And again, that number is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service, and have a wonderful afternoon.